Hey there, you're watching the Q&A Ask Us Anything episode for Wednesday, 12 noon for July 1st, 2026. Hi again, JT. Long time.
What's going on, man?
Not much. And hey, Robbie, good to see you too. So if you got a question for Robbie, JT, or myself, just go ahead and pop it into the YouTube chat or the Rumble chat. And we will get to you. To be honest, one of the reasons we do these Q&A shows is because we hope that it'll encourage people to donate to the show. So just a reminder that we can really use and need your financial support. Rumble Rants and YouTube chats are the easiest way to do that. You can also subscribe to the show if you're on YouTube. And we'll talk a little bit about that later, about how to do that. We were earlier, just during the regular show, what were we talking about that we decided? Oh, yeah. We didn't really talk about the main topic, which was Trump did financial disclosure statements for 2025. He raked in at least $1.4 billion from his family's crypto businesses. In all, he got $2.2 billion at least. This compares to 2024, when he was not president, when he was running, and he merely collected $622 million, merely. So his income has more than, basically has quadrupled in the year that he became president again. About one of his biggest take-ins was an investment firm tied to the UAE that bought World Liberty Financial, which is, or they bought half of it, which is the main crypto company run by Don Jr., Don, and Eric Trump. And basically, there was also the dollar Trump and dollar Melania meme coins, World Liberty sales of its own digital tokens. The grift was endless, and it continues, and it's probably only accelerating, I would imagine. And we're not even going to talk about Qatar's gift of the new Air Force One to Trump. So it's pretty crazy. And, you know, I mean, the Constitution is very clear. Emoluments, which is basically using the office to enrich yourself, is really, really wrong. I mean, what a long way we've come from Harry Truman, who refused to even enrich himself by giving speeches and stuff after he left the presidency, and was so poor that Congress decided to create an actual pension for the president of the United States because it was embarrassing that former President Truman was so fucking poor. Jimmy Carter basically backburnered his family's peanut business in Georgia, in Plains, while he was president, to the point where the place was nearly falling apart. He nearly went bankrupt in 1981 when he left the presidency. That's how things used to be. And, you know, I mean, there's people like Obama and the Clintons who've certainly lined their pockets based on their former presidencies. But we have never seen anyone do anything like this where they're lining their pockets, you know, while they're president. And nobody has much to say about it. We know the Republicans don't have much to say about it, JT. But I thought what was really interesting is that the press doesn't have much to say about it. It's sort of like, that's just Trump being Trump. What are you going to do? And it's not even seems, it's sort of like every now and then they mention it and then they move on. There's no editorials, or if there are, nobody cares. It's just dissolute.
I guess, what does it say about a society that sees this and just says, okay, I feel like, God, man, there's a Star Trek reference for this where Worf is having a conversation with, I forget her name, Dax. And Worf is talking about the Klingon. He's talking about all of this. He's talking about honor. And if anybody has ever watched Star Trek, Klingons are big on honor, whatever that means, honor this, honor that. And her point was, you have had a corrupt empire for centuries. And the fact that even you, an honorable man, would accept that level of corruption talks about or says something about the empire. Meaning the fact that you, as an honest man, has not just assisted in the corruption, but assisted in covering up the lies that the empire was effectively involved in, What does it say about the empire that even an honest man is corrupt? And I guess I feel like that about it, where we will publish this. It will be in big glossy headlines, the media. Trump is corrupt. And the public is like, well, we know he's corrupt. Where's my girlfriend? Where's my Xbox? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I need to take my kid to soccer. It's that. But that says something. Like, that bespeaks about something. That's the perspective of it, if that makes sense. I hope that makes sense.
It does. Yeah, no, it. I mean, look, I like what you said. Look, most Americans, most people are honest, right? Like, I mean, I can't count the number of times I derpily dropped money on the ground and someone said, hey, dude, you dropped some money.
Right.
Happens all the time, right? More often than not. It's like, or I left my wallet somewhere and someone's like, calls me like, hey, sir, I found your wallet. Not always, but most people are like that. Most people don't cheat on their taxes to any significant extent. Most people don't embezzle funds from their work, even if they can get away with it. Most cashiers don't rob the till.
Right.
Most restaurant owners don't steal their waiters' tips. Some do. Too many do, but not all, not most. Most of us try to do the right thing most of the time, and even when nobody's watching, which is when it counts, right? And yeah. It's like, I was thinking about, like, I was a cabbie, and one of my colleagues told us, other colleagues at the garage, like, oh, I had this girl pass out drunk in my cab, and I raped her. And I was thinking, we all looked at each other like, well, that wouldn't.
Wait, he told you that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's nothing we could do. I mean, if we call the police and be like, oh, this guy told us that. Okay, well, who, where, how do you know? You know what I mean? Like, nothing would have happened. So
she
probably didn't really know what happened to her, right? But the point is, he thought it was funny. But, you know, we all, as taxi drivers, because we all work night shift, we all had women pass out in the back of our cabs that we then had to get home. And, you know, thank God, for some reason, most of the people who do that are rich and live in doorman buildings. So you pull up to the doorman building and you say, hey, do you know this lady? It's like, yeah, she lives here. Here, let's carry her inside. I think poor and middle class women probably have to keep their wits around about them a little more if they live in a buzzer building or whatever. So, but I mean, I can't count the number of, you know, women I had to like bring home, and yeah, it would have never crossed my mind, right? Most people are honest. Most people are decent. And so, yeah, it's that thing. It's like the bullying thing. There's very few bullies, but lots of people who watch bullies and don't do anything.
Right.
What is it about us that says, we're just going to like, you know, we're going to let this guy do this. And
I think it's worse than that. I mean, because it's not like just some rando guy that's doing this. We have laws. Yeah. There are laws. Like, meaning there are laws on the books. It's not like this is theoretical.
And the president's supposed to be the best of the best of us, not the worst.
There are laws on the books for this.
His tenure should be unimpeachable. No pun intended.
If this was rando guy stealing cigarettes, he could get shot. And the dude that got shot selling Lucy's.
Right.
Like, I mean, the president is like getting billions.
And like, it's totally illegal. It's
illegally
illegal. Yeah. It's illegal under federal law. Under the Constitution. Not a lot of laws are enshrined in the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't say it's illegal to rob banks, but it specifies that government officials will not commit treason, and they will not steal funds from public office, right? Because the Founding Fathers were particularly concerned about that, because that shit happened under British rule.
Right.
They were concerned about, I mean, it's gobsmacking and, you know, so gross.
Like I said, it's not that I am shocked that he's stealing. That's not the shocking part. Mm. Like, as you point out, most people are honest. I don't think Trump is honest. I think Trump is a psychopath. And I think a narcissist is going to maximize the presidency just like the others. I mean, Joe Biden was maximizing his profit in the presidency using his kid to do it. It just wasn't this grotesque and flagrant. And I guess my thing is, when you make it this grotesque and flagrant, you're presenting something to the public. Is this allowable, yay or nay? Public says yes. Well, thank you for it. Meaning at a certain point, you can't blame him for doing it when there's no consequence for doing it, right?
Well,
it's more so the fact that you have laws
for doing it. But yeah, but I'm with you. I blame us for putting up with it.
Yeah, we just watch it. And I, obviously, we as individuals are not in the position to go have a citizen's arrest of Donald Trump. Like, all right, we're here to lock the president up because he's so-and-so. We're going to get shot. We will get shot.
Right.
We will be right. But we get shot.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me, but it's totally like a fucking third world dictatorship. I mean,
it is.
Turkmenistan under Sapir Murat Niyazov, a.k.a. Turkmenbashi. Look him up if you don't know who he is. You know, he personalized all the power of the state under his own personal control. I was wandering around the streets of Ashgabat on some blazing fucking hot day, and they all are in Ashgabat. And I came across, I saw the photo somewhere, an office, a government ministry that had a bronze plaque that said, Office for Personal Benefit of President.
Nice.
It was the bribe office.
Nice.
It's like you have business in Turkmenistan, you need an oil concession, you want to open a burger place, you got to go there and make sure that Niyazov gets his taste.
See, I prefer that. That's honest. True. It's like the Department of War. It's honest. There's something satisfying when it's honest, even if you think it's grotesque, right?
That's what I hate about that.
Okay, he's getting bribes anyway. At the very least, make it an office. Tax the bribes that he's getting.
So amazing.
One more thing before we go
to the questions. How do you feel about, I mean, to me, the fact that it's crypto makes it even worse. Because it's not like, you know, I mean, it's sort of the way Dick Cheney, it was Halliburton, which was also a sleazy company. I mean, I don't know. It might not be as bad if the person was like, you know, I don't know. Like, let's say it's Elon Musk became president. And it's like, well, you know, he's still making money from Tesla and SpaceX. I mean, those are, you know, viable businesses that actually produce something, you know.
Right.
Valuable to society. Crypto is a grift, man. I mean, even aside from the fact that the president is personally involved, I mean, it's a sleazy fucking business.
$1 billion is $1 billion.
Yeah.
I get it, but $1 billion is $1 billion. You're saying like if Elon Musk was pinching off of SpaceX, but it's still a company, it's still sending stuff into space.
Does it
but
make he's, sense? Yeah.
But he's getting change on the side. That's better than what Trump is doing with crypto.
I mean, the fact that it's crypto is like, of course it's crypto.
I don't know if it's worse. I understand your point, though. At the very least, Elon Musk is doing something positive in regards to a company.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a grift.
Yeah, I still would be against it. I'd still rant about it, but it wouldn't be quite as nasty.
I think it's nasty because it's the presidency. Yeah. It's nasty on so many counts, but there's something particular about this idea that the media reports it. And because what is the point of media, right? The entire point of media is there are things that happen that we need to be aware of. They even call it a fourth estate, because how do you know what people in power are doing if the media doesn't report what people in power are doing? You require them on some level to give you information, and you use that information to come to some kind of assessment of the world, ideally being something that you do in the world. Okay.
No democracy if you don't have, like, look, Tocqueville said, right, democracy requires a well-informed, well-educated electorate. Well, you're not going
exactly.
to be well-informed if you don't have a vibrant media.
Yeah. But what happens when the media reports something? They do their job. Hey, the president has just basically grifted over $1 billion.
Yes, he has.
And the public is like, hey, that sucks.
Yeah.
And that's it. that is wild to me.
Look, let's face it. You know, we live in the, what are you going to do, society?
Yeah.
You know, can't be helped.
By the way, this is a UFO issue also. believe it or not. Like, if back in, let's say, 1950s, they did what they did with the disclosure stuff, like meaning the stuff that they were doing now, the videos and everything else they were releasing now, they released back then. I don't think the public would have looked at that and just been like, yeah.
Right,
I don't think they would have.
I agree.
No, I mean, I guess
it would have been point, holy fucking shit in, like, you know, banner headlines.
Yeah, we're not alone. Shit like that. I guess my point is, in the same way we look at that and be like, yeah, we're looking at what Trump is doing. It's like, yeah. What do you think that comes from? Is it just
how the fuck do
the sense of unable to do anything about it? What's the?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. I think, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, on a micro level, you know, it's like when you work at a company and you're not in the top echelon, let's say. You know, you're just an employee. You could even be middle management, but let's say you're, but let's say you're not, just say you're a normal person. You quickly realize as a young person working in an institution like that, that how hard you work, how good you are, how good your idea, none of that matters, right? Like, they're going to do what they're going to do. And, like, you could all be doing a great job. And, you know, the company, if the managers do something stupid or CEO decides to sell the company, you're all out of work. It makes no fucking difference. That's exactly what the American citizens are like. We all know that our vote doesn't matter, that the polls don't matter. If they want, you know, we may all hate Israel, but they're sending our money there anyway. It's like they're going to do whatever the fuck they want. We may not want, like, you know, we don't want unfettered, you know, immigration. That's all right. You know, we need those wages down. We're going to keep doing it. So I think, yeah, people, when they realize they have no say, they sort of, they don't really check out because they kind of need to know what's going on. Some people check out, but a lot of people, they just figure, well, I'm not going to care in that sort of, like, I'm not going to get angry. You can't get angry all the time. You can't rile yourself up. You lose your mind if you do that. You know, I mean, it's sort of like if you're an abused child and you're more often than not, your dad comes home drunk and beats you. After a certain amount of time, of course you don't like it when it happens, but, you know, you're going to stop crying. It's just going to be another day that you're getting beaten.
You harness your strength until you could put a knife in him. That's what you do.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, that's what you do. It's like when you, it's like, I can't do anything about this now, but man, you, every punch is building.
I'm going to get you.
Rage. Yeah. It's just rage. And that stuff is going to build over time. And when it explodes,
that's what revolution is, right? Like, you know, like when the system blows up, and it does, it will ultimately blow up. The looks on the faces of, you know, Marco Rubio and those people, they're all going to be like, I don't understand. I mean, why are they doing this to us? Why are they taking our shit? Why are they killing us? It's like, why are you so mad? It's like, dude, it's a pressure cooker. You built it up for years. And it explodes because you never fucking released it.
Until it releases.
Until it blows up. All right, we should do comments because it's the Q&A show. All right. Thank you so much. Okay, here we go. John D. Cockefeller, LMAO. Imagine buying Melania coin or Trump coin. I cannot imagine.
Who the hell bought those coins, by the way? I can't believe that somebody bought those coins.
I know. It's fucking stupid. Seems like an effort to just wring money out of boomers, which I'm actually fine with. Yeah, but like, it's not for Trump.
They earned that loss. They're the poor,
if it was going to poor people, I'd be all about it, you know? The Franklin Mint gold collection of plated toothpicks is fine. Frank Friel, thanks for $5. Why is Putin using Israeli as a go-between Russia and Zelensky? Does Israel have a lot of influence over the Russian government?
I don't think that's true, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think that's
true. I saw the reporting at one point. I don't remember when, but why would he need Israel to be a go-between? I mean, they have back channels.
Yeah.
Communication. I don't know why Israel would be necessary for it.
Russia and Israel used to have surprisingly good relations. I suspect it's still residual, but.
Oh, not just residual. Apparently Putin has close relationships with Israel. I mean, a lot of Russian Jews are in Israel.
Yeah. But it's funny considering the history of, you know, Russian Jews leaving Russia and, you know, all these Jewish aid organizations in the United States raising money to save Soviet Jewry and send them to Israel.
Soviet Jewry.
Yeah. You remember that.
But I don't know why he would need Israel for that. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are reports like Natalie Bennett, for example, where Putin tells him, hey, I'm not going to kill Zelensky. And then he goes and tells Zelensky, hey, he's not going to kill you. And Zelensky comes out the bunker, says, I am, you know, I'm not afraid of the Russians. After he gets the heads up that he's not going to kill
him. That's not good. You can choose not to be afraid, but that's not wise.
Right. I'm not afraid.
To quote Tony Soprano, don't fuck with the Russians. Matina, I guess you ostracize him if he raped her. Yeah, well, we did, and we didn't like him anyway. He was a creep, but we ostracized him more. We were all like looking at each other, like, okay, well,
that's creepy as shit.
Yeah, no.
Hey, I raped the woman in the car. Ain't that awesome?
Yeah.
What do you expect to hear from that? I mean, I guess maybe there's some guy named Frank who's like, really? Like, seriously?
That was awesome. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. We need to go riding in a cab together. Like, yeah. I mean, but I don't know who that guy would be. Like, just virtue signaling alone, you would think that you would be like, ugh, that's gross.
Right. Well, it's a thing that, like, if you're a guy, I think it comes up sometimes where a guy will be like, we're all guys. Hey, I did this really horrible thing. You guys all do that too, right? And we're like, no, I mean, when the Me Too thing started, a friend of mine calls me and he's like, who among us hasn't gotten a little too drunk? And I'm like, I've gotten really drunk and been naked when it happened. But no, I'm not worried about this whole Me Too thing at all. Like, I'm not personally worried about it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's not an issue for me. I mean, there have been times when you're hanging out, you guys are playing spades or you're drinking and everything else, but everybody's on the same page. It's not like you are macking on somebody who's like, get away from me, and you just keep, you know, pushing. Yeah, it's not that.
Right, exactly. Right. No, I mean, that's kind of like an unfortunate thing about you know, male life. It's sort of like, yeah, we're all like, it's like, it's like, I bet cops, I think that's like the way it is with the cops too. They're all like, you know, Bob, he likes to beat his suspects a little too much, but what are you going to do? You know, it's like, and that's the fucking problem. Sam Palmisano, thanks very much for the $20. Question for all, especially my favorite producer. Are traps gay? Traps?
What do you mean by traps?
Do you have any idea, Robbie, what he's talking about?
I'm going to assume he's talking about hunting traps. Like, no, if you're out hunting, some people, they call it hunting. What they'll do is that they'll go and they'll put traps out, try, you know, wolves or things.
You mean like Ash Patel's wife or girlfriend?
Wait, what do you mean? Like, like bear traps? Like, what do you
mean? No, bear traps. I'm talking about actually hunting, not a honey trap.
Oh, hunting. I thought you said honey. I'm sorry.
No,
I thought you said honey.
I'm sorry. I mean, it could be a honey trap. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of different traps out there, but my default position is that, yes, traps are gay. If you're going to be hunting, you should go out there and earn it. If you're going to take that life, then you go out there, you earn it. And also whatever it is that you take from the wild, you eat it. Like, I'm against trophy hunting, for example.
It's existential. It's about life. It's not about being fair. It's about winning.
No, I understand that. But I mean, I guess that maybe I just really am a Philistine. Like a lot of people think that I am, is that I think that there has to be honor in life. And if you're going to go and you're going to go kill something, it doesn't matter if it's an animal that you're going to bring home and put on your plate, or if it's a person killing another person in a war zone.
Robbie,
you owe it to that life.
His head chopped off for a reason.
Yeah, I understand that.
You just did.
I understand that, and that's what I'm saying is that maybe I'm just too old fashioned. Maybe I really am that conservative. It's just,
no, you just need somebody around you who's more cynical. That's all.
Listen, I'm plenty cynical, but I think
it's like good people need cynical people, not cynical people. Cynical is the wrong word for it. Good people need scheming, conniving, morally gray people around them to ensure that they remain safe. I'm a firm believer in that. Because Ned Stark, if he had somebody to say, hey, dude, you're going to get your head chopped off. You need to behave differently. Keep your values.
I think he still would have done it anyway.
I mean,
you think he's done?
There are some things in this world, JT, it's worth to lay your life down on the altar for.
No, I agree. But there are also things that are worth a decent person will have better outcomes if they stay alive. I'm a believer in that too. Like Star Trek doesn't exist without Section 32 or 31 or whatever it was called.
I don't know what kind of trap it is that he's talking about. So I'm leaning into my own.
You're probably talking about like passive traps that you lay out. And look, here's the thing. I have opinions about that too. I think traps are gay if you think you're a hunter by doing that. That's not hunting. Now, if you're hungry and you're out in the woods and you need to eat, then I'd say it's not a glory thing, but you got to eat and, all bets are off, right? Wouldn't you say, Robbie? I mean, if you're just like, there's nothing wrong with trying to survive and
Naked and Afraid. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah, many times.
I've seen a couple of episodes of it. I don't.
So when they get to the point of being like near death, it's still about right and wrong at that point?
Well, it's about gay, right? Like, in other words, like, say it's gay. Like, we mean, like, in other words, there's no glory in it. It doesn't mean it's necessarily evil, right? It just means it's gay.
Well, I say, for example, if you're going to take it this far, and we're kind of going way off field here with the question, but if you're hungry, if you're going without, I mean, Ted, you're homeless. I was homeless. Mm-hmm. I never once thought about going into someone's house, killing the family that was in there and taking what I needed.
No, I never thought of that either.
Because that would have been a bridge too far. So, I mean, from a survival standpoint, mm-hmm. I mean, I lived under a bridge on US 29. And then I lived out in the Piney Woods of Florida, digging up swamp cabbage. So I know what it's like to miss a couple of meals.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are rules that you can choose to live by, and that determines whether or not you become an animal.
Right.
I'd rather not be an animal.
No, I agree with that. I mean, yeah. I mean, look, in Alive, I would have eaten the bodies. Or tried to, anyway.
Oh, they're dead. Yeah. What difference does it make?
Some of them refuse to.
I am going to go with the idea that this means a honey trap, because I'm not a hunter. I've never hunted.
Well, it could be. Or hell, I mean, you'd be talking about working out at a gym, getting a big buff body. I don't know what you mean by trap.
All right.
So I just went to my default position because I live in Montana. I like to hunt.
Tell us what kind of trap you're talking about.
I'm going to say honey traps suck. As men, we need to get rid of those.
Yeah,
we are too susceptible to those things.
I mean, I've said this to women and they kind of like don't believe me. I'm like, look, no matter how much your husband loves you, the fact is, under the right circumstances, he can't help cheating on you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's like if someone sets them up and they just like, Brad Pitt, the way he was with Jennifer, what's her name?
Aniston. Yeah.
Aniston. He was on a film set with famously
Angelina Jolie.
Angelina Jolie basically raped him. She jumped his bones and like started getting all kissy on him. The guy's been away from his wife for weeks. It's Angelina Jolie. They've been working closely together. Did I mention it's Angelina Jolie? Yeah. I'm not sure that the Pope himself would be able to resist. And that's all I'm saying. Like, honey traps are almost an irresistible thing,
What difference does that make? Men will always be men. Every day there are girls at the office and men will always be men.
Are y'all familiar with the Billy Graham rule?
The who?
Billy Graham rule.
What's Billy Graham rule?
So I'm not a fan of Billy Graham. He's too liberal of a preacher for me. But this is a good rule of his. And what the rule was is that anytime that he was going to go meet with a woman, he was never alone. He always had his wife with him.
Yeah.
And well, that's
how you solve the problem. Yeah.
100%. And so like if I ever have to go and have a conversation with a woman or either over text or in person, my wife is always there. I'm never alone because I don't want to put myself in that situation.
In the 80s, when I worked with, in corporations, I often went drinking with ladies and stuff. And then, sometimes ended up sleeping with them. But when I was in management in the aughts, I was like, oh, that can't happen. I can't sleep with any coworkers, right? Management's different. So not to mention I was married too, but I just was like, so anyway, and there were some very, very attractive women at my place. Anyway, they would ask me to go out. Hey, let's go grab a drink after work. And I don't know what they wanted. I mean, they may have just wanted a drink. But the point is, I was like, nope, I'm busy. Or, hey, let's bring Kenny with us. You know, like, definitely, yeah. Like, not use. I mean, the Billy Graham rule is useful.
That's only defense, because we're all guys.
Yeah. A10 Manhattan. Not anymore, Ted. Driving. So many drunk girls get a lift and pass out. I knew someone who was a predator doing it. That's part of the problem when you don't have professional taxi drivers. John D. Cockefeller, political thanks for the fiver. Political fatigue. We're all just so fucking tired of the constant back and forth and finger pointing to care at this point. That's for sure a big part of it. Also, yeah. Our president hasn't been the best of us in any of our lifetimes. That's
wait, say that one more time. What's the best of us?
You know, like I said, the president should be like.
The best of us. Yeah. He's a representative. He's literally the embodiment of
America. John is right. You know, no, we haven't had any really, truly stellar human beings as president of the United States in a very long time. Juan Don, no question. I have no idea what this is. US 20100271901 tectonic discharger. Has me wonder about these earthquakes.
What's the last part? Has me wondering about
these earthquakes.
I don't know if that's a harp thing. I don't know if that's. Yeah, I don't know. I'm assuming that's a harp thing.
It's harp thing. Yeah, they're trying to use sound waves to influence the tectonic plates, try to affect the rocks that way they'll slide and trigger earthquakes.
Yeah,
that's what that is.
Okay. Anna, meanwhile, they keep the population distracted over LGBTQ, MAGA, feminism, blah, blah, blah. The country is just crumbling. True. Sam Palmisano, thanks for the $20. I know Ted is red-blooded, but how much of a commie is Jamarl? If you were czar for the year, what would be the changes you would make? P.S. Y'all should play Mecha Chameleon.
I don't know what Mecha Chameleon is.
I don't either.
So
I think that's a JT question.
Yeah, that's a me question. Personally, I think the state or the government should control rail, any kind of transportation, any kind of electricity, any kind of buses, those type of things. I think they're vital services, and vital services belongs under the auspices of the people. If I was God man, this idea of profit and this idea that if there's even one person who's without a house, there'll be no billionaires. And I got to be honest, there'll probably be no billionaires under Jamarl Thomas anyway. I don't know. I mean, that's a hard question because there's so much to change. Healthcare, obviously, free jobs, guaranteed. I mean, there's certain things that I would do as a... My goal would be to formally have a policy of industrializing and technologicalizing, I hope you know what I'm trying to get at the word, the country. We're already becoming more mechanized, so I would definitely lean into that, but I would lean into it in a way that wouldn't necessarily attack workers, that the issue would be prosperity. I don't know, that's hard. And it's harder because you're functioning in a world economy where you require a military, you require these things to function. Like, this is a civ question, right? Like, what are you doing civ? And it's like, well, we're scientists and warriors. It's like, what? You're both? Yes. Don't fuck with us. Leave us our devices.
You didn't teach me how to play Civ 6, JT. I bought it. I can't figure
it
out.
Did you? Oh, we got to play it.
You got to teach me how to play it because I'm too dumb to figure it out.
It's a lot of shit to it. Ted, you should get in on this. Okay. It's fun. You would love it.
Really?
You are very similar to me in this stuff. You would love it. You basically start a civilization from the time of your cavemen and grow that civilization with policies, issues of war and peace, diplomacy. You can win through faith, technology, war. What else? I think media is another one, or diplomacy is a potential victory. You have like 6 or 7 different victory paths that you could take. The game is fantastic. Civ 7 sucks. Don't look at Civ 7. Civ 6 is it. That's the top of the line. But I don't know if I would call myself a commie. I don't like to call myself anything, if I'm being honest with you. It's confining. I understand that having a body of ideas and wrapping yourself in those ideas helps in regards to path. True. But I don't know if I'm wedded to anything per se. I think I'm more pragmatic on this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to put you in a box, you're not wanting me to, but I think you're probably a socialist or maybe a Democrat.
I'm very close to libertarian socialism is probably the closest thing. I mean, I would be going in a very specific direction, exploring space, technological innovation, dumping money into sciences and those type of things, technology in order to liberate humanity. That would be my trajectory. How do I liberate humanity? Period. And I mean freedom. I don't mean this shit where you're continuously stuck with lacking things. The subsistence living thing. I want that eradicated. I think from the standpoint of human growth and development, we waste so much of it. If you think of all of the people that are in poverty across the globe, we have, 7 billion people on the planet. Let's say 30% may make $10 a day. And what does it mean for the life of those people? And take those people out for the moment and think of, okay, well, I see what their life is now, but what would be the potential growth for Earth and development for Earth if indeed these people were liberated in a way where their intellect, either in arts, science, et cetera, can be emancipated? Okay, that's a different world. Like, that's a world where the population itself is just not wasted, where it's like, oh, reached. Yeah.
I mean, from a capitalist standpoint, I mean, we become monsters. I mean, yeah, we have the best minds most of our best minds are mm-hmm. underemployed, working in, pumping gas or doing shit that is, frankly, should be done by a robot, not by them. Yes. And totally.
I mean, not to mention people are just born in other countries. Like, let's say you're born in a country where the GDP is like $3 a month. Okay, that person is fine.
Towards your point, JT, I mean, the microloans, which are no longer in the news, but that was a big developing world thing. Like, oh, let's give this lady $1,000. Let's lend her $1,000 so she can, so she can scale up her textile business or whatever. And the results were always spectacular. First of all, the loans always got paid back with interest. And also, people would $1,000, big fucking whoop. And it'd be life-changing,
I've got to know. I've got to ask this. Ted, you've known me now for, 3 years? Mm-hmm. JT, you've got to know me a little bit over the last couple of months. How would y'all peg me on the political spectrum? Like, where do I fit?
Evolving.
Were you a socialist, communist, or some in between?
Yeah, I mean, just like if you had to pick a box, where mm-hmm. would you put Robbie? We know that I'm not a member of the Southern Taliban, which I thank you for.
Thankfully.
Where do I fit? That's
culturally right wing, economically populist left. Is what I would say.
I'll go with that. I mean, obviously, definitely on the right in a cultural sense. Yeah. You know, it's funny though, Robbie. I think there are a lot of people like you that they don't see. I don't get fixated on boxes. I don't like to get fixated on boxes. Obviously, even with my answer. But I think people do fixate on boxes, and they do define and delineate themselves in regards to everyone else. Like, what am I among the crowd? How am I distinct among the crowd? And I think sometimes they put themselves in wrong boxes.
Sure.
And they defend the ideology of the box, even when the ideology of the box is against their self-interest. And when they may not even, 3 a.m. between them and their God, even agree with it. So say, for example, I've had people send me emails saying, hey man, I'm on the right, but I agree with so much of what you say, like 70%. And I'm reading emails, you're not on the right, right?
Well, that's
the reality. They may be culturally from the right.
My DMZ co-host, Scott, I'm like, dude, you're a liberal. You still don't want to admit it,
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you're defending the idea of yourself mm-hmm. as opposed to what you really believe. And I guess going with what Ted said.
Go to roll.com.
You say a lot of populist shit, even though you obviously fit on the right. So.
Yeah. I mean, and by the way, I don't see any contradiction there. I think you can be very far right in terms of cultural values, like don't fucking spit on the flag, not comfortable with LGBTQ stuff, and, you know, be very devout religious, and so on, and still be, you know, want redistribution of wealth and the dictatorship of the proletariat. I mean, in many ways, traditional communists were very culturally conservative. So, I mean, Mao Zedong wasn't culturally liberal at all. You know, I mean, their LGBT rights were often trampled upon by socialist regimes. So, you know, I mean, okay, we have some more comments here. I should do them. Okay, so John D. Cockefeller, I have a similar rule, Robbie. I don't let female students close my office door. I don't close the door for male students either, but I'm far more careful about female students. It's just, you know, prudent.
Yeah, the Me Too thing is terrifying. And then it's like, because it puts us in a contradiction. And I think the cops thing is a really good example. It's like, okay, I'm supposed to hunt, but consensually. And the very act of hunting is making a move, if that makes sense.
It's not consensual. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the very basis of it. And women may feel some kind of way if you don't.
It's sort of that we were talking about real hunting earlier, right? Like, I remember like thinking like, oh, like if you're taking, you know, like that whole discussion, like, oh, you know, is it fair to use a machine gun against an animal, against a deer? And most hunters would be like, nah, that's not sport. you know, like, oh, what about a knife? Like, and not a gun. Oh, knife is sporting. But I'm like, that deer never got a vote. That deer didn't pick a fight with you. That deer, right. That deer's minding its business. He has no beef with you. He has no truck with you. You fucking, you're like, what's this whole fair fight thing? This whole fair fight thing is like Israel in 1948. We're going to steal the whole country, but hey, let's share. You can have half. What are you talking about? Like, I'm minding my business. I'm just here herding my sheep and harvesting my olives. Fuck off.
And it's never a fair fight. What they're talking about is a fight less fair or more fair, if that makes sense. Like, meaning they're not fighting the deer. They're not having a fist fight. Right? It's not like I'm going to go mano deer and we're going to see who wins.
They would lose that, too, because they kick the shit out of you.
Yeah, they would lose that, which is why they don't fight that way, which is why they bring a gun, which is not fair.
Right. Sam Palmisano, I love all the thanks for the $10. I love all the discussion about hunting, as I'm also a hunting fan. However, the traps I'm talking about are males who appear as a woman, but are in reality are men, e.g.
How the hell will we know that? That's a trap.
We had no way to know that. Like, this would have been like you giving me 100 guesses. I would not have gotten to that in the top 100.
I would have never picked that. I would like to say that I was closest. I said honey traps.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, I mean, I feel like I'm a pretty experienced guy, and I've never had any crying game situations where it's like, man, she sure is cute. And then it's like, oh.
Lady. I've never had that issue. I've always been very good at being able to delineate who's who.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of that. I think most trans women are, they don't want that. They want to make sure you know who they are, right? Before that gets
there. I would hope. I mean, I would hope.
If John, not, I would beat his ass every which way. And he would.
Sure, you don't want to be a cop.
He would think twice.
You don't think he'd be like, you don't know, he could get overcome.
Let me tell you, if the beautiful girl I was kissing tried to be a beautiful guy, it would end in violence. Sorry.
It wouldn't end in violence for me. I mean, but it would obviously be like...
It'd end with my departure is where it would end.
Yeah. I'd just leave. I wouldn't get into a fight. I mean, it's still a man. That man may beat my ass.
That's true, too. Yeah, you can't assume that you'd win this.
Yeah.
Mateo, commenting for the Rumble algorithm gods. So, yeah, thank you. Everybody who just wants to go in and do that, we... really do appreciate you because of the new algorithm thing. Okay, serious cue for the fellows. What's the status on merch? I'm still stitching for a War of Clovis Aggression shirt. That's a question. Trent, I don't know if you're watching. But
And I want my To the Moon.
Yeah.
Trent, to the goddamn moon. To the fucking moon.
Trent's got the Clovis art. He's supposed to be working on it. but he's busy with his full-time job.
To the fucking moon. That shirt just seems epic to me.
Totally amazing.
It's like some of these things make me high, like when I think about it. Like the idea of a man just barely from being an ape. It's like, we're going to the goddamn moon. Right there. That thing in the sky. That's what we're fucking doing.
They didn't even know what it was.
What it was made of. I know. And even now they don't entirely understand why the moon is the way the moon is. Like the angular momentum, the speed of it, how big it is. Like most moons, in fact, all of them are like tiny. Our moon is like 20, a fourth the size of Earth. It's very weird. They think something is
very strange. Yeah, that's a very strange moon. Matina, Robbie, you need to rail against BlackRock that bought up all the homes in 08, then rented them out and raised rates rather than immigrants. Redirect your ire.
If I had it my way, I would have every one of them from the CEO on down hung by the neck until dead. I would destroy the company and I would redistribute that wealth everywhere for every single American that they fucked over.
See, that's a lefty position. That's what I mean, right? What Ted is like. Okay, so
I'm like, we would have no discussion about this. At the end of World War II, my grandfather, and I'm always so jealous of him, there was something called the épuration, the purification. And it was basically the 6 to 8 weeks in each French town between the time that the Nazis evacuated and that the Allies set up the new government. Oh, and so that during that period, tens of thousands of French collaborators were killed, executed by people like my grandfather. And basically, they just set up a card table in the town square near the fountain. And then people would be like, all right, so this guy, he was a war profiteer. He charged extortionist prices. He turned in Jews to the commandateur. And it's like, it'd be like, anyone else got anything to say? Yeah, he did that to so-and-so. Yeah, you got anything to say? No. All right, kill him. Next. And it was like that. And I was like, God, that must have been so fun. It's like
Battlestar Galactica thing.
They did that show on Battlestar. Gosh, it is Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in the chat. It's kind of a throwback to our trapping discussion about hunting, to about feral hogs. And you know, they are a big problem, especially in the South. I'm going to give you all a pro tip. If you're ever down there hunting and you're hunting for hogs, you want to follow along the river. And if you're deep enough south where there's palmetto bushes, they love palmettos. So what you can do, just get over there, and if you have a Pop-Tart with you, they're attracted by the sugar, especially the strawberry Pop-Tarts. I don't know why. They like strawberry Pop-Tarts. Crush that up and just sit there, but you need a high-powered rifle. I would really recommend at least a .30-06 because anything small, that's just going to piss the hog off and he's going to eat you.
That's is crazy. That fair hunting, though?
That's just what I was going to ask.
Yeah, it is.
In the Middle Ages, they use spears and like knives and swords to go after wild boars.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Also, more fair.
And also, well, I mean, if you have a big enough cross guard, otherwise, if you stick him, he's just gonna run up the pole and then just eat you. So, but not. See, I'm not interested.
Fair. It's a contest.
Listen, I'm not interested in playing fair. I'm interested in getting some ham.
Robbie, we just had the conversation.
Poor boar is a peaceful creature. It's just in it for the Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts. Listen, I'm just telling you. Use a Mosin Nagant, a .30-06, a high caliber round. Get yourself, it's the best meat you've ever had. Now, it's going to dull your knife if you go to dress them out there in the field. So either have a whetstone or a second knife because their hide is like yay thick. It's thick. But it's the best meat you'll ever have in your life. Oh, my God.
This so just good. Doesn't
seem. They're also fucking like grease lightning. I've seen them in Florida along those rivers, like doing one of those alligator tours, and you see the hogs go by, and you're like, holy shit, they're fast, you know?
Rick's asking, are you sure you use a 30-06? Yeah, just run it hot, because a 30-06 is a very versatile round. So, I mean, you can use it, it all depends on the load. So you just load it hot, it'll do the job. I mean, me personally, I use a Mosin Nagant, gun for it.
Yeah, see, I don't want to kill anything, per se. I mean, if something invades my house, it's fair game. But
if someone invades your house and you kill me, you eat it?
I was a person?
Look, I tried to kill someone who broke into my house, so I can speak to that. I mean...
Did you?
Yeah.
So you tried to kill him?
I mean, anyone would have. I mean, I took a mental health day off from work. I'm sitting at home, you know, drinking coffee, and I lived in a shitty neighborhood, and reading the New York Times, peaceful day at home. Burglars usually come during the day in New York because they figure you're at work.
Interesting.
Okay. So you're so anyway, I would have been at work and that place would have been robbed. Anyway, it's just like in a Hitchcock movie. I hear a sound. I look at the door and I see the doorknob like moving. I'm like, oh shit. And so I crept over to the peephole and looked through. I could see a dude's like ass and some tools on the ground. And he was while he was working on my trying to break my door. Trying to pick the lock and, you know, all that stuff. So I'm like thinking, what do I do, right? So I called 911 and they're like, we'll be there in 12 minutes. And I'm like, this situation's going to come to a head before 12 minutes. I've got to take care of it right now. So my roommate had a kryptonite bike lock sitting on the table. And I was like, hello. And so I went over there. And I seriously never lost any sleep over this. I was like, this guy's going to break into my house and maybe hurt me. And if he runs away, he's going to come back and break in tomorrow, right, when I'm not here. So I pulled open the door. The dude tumbles into the apartment, which at this point now makes him officially a trespasser, a burglar, and I have the right to deploy deadly force under New York law. So, which I then proceeded to do, and I used the bike lock, and I clocked him in the face as hard as I could, and then I slammed the door, and I heard him like leave, and then after a little while, I followed the blood trail down the stairs to the lobby, and there he was unconscious on the street, and the cops were just showing up, and it was like two partners, one white, one black. The black guy goes, "You did that?" I go, yeah. And he goes, I wouldn't think you had it in you. And it was like, well, it's coming in. And anyway, he was in a coma. But my understanding.
Really? You put a man in a coma. Holy shit. Coma.
Yeah, burglar in a coma. I know. It's serious. Yeah.
That's my quartet.
No, he put himself in a coma when he decided to break into my apartment.
You know? I mean, you did hit him. I'm not blaming you for it.
Yeah.
That's an edge.
I wouldn't take offense. I mean, you know, if you think I was wrong, I mean, I don't
think you were wrong.
I mean, again, if they'd said, oh, we'll be there in 3 minutes, I would have hung tight.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. Yeah, dude, look, he's an unknown.
Yeah.
And he's trying to break into my house.
Right. That's it. There's nothing more to talk about.
Yeah.
If I had a really mean, bitey dog, I would have sicked it on him. You know?
Yeah, you can't pull no shit like that. You're trying to, you know. Make me uncomfortable in my own place. Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah. You're going to go. Matina, my friend, picked up a tranny and told him if he was younger, he would have beat the shit out of him. I mean, I don't know why a trans woman would want to date on false pretenses. I mean, just for their own good. I mean, like, why have that conversation? Like, you're not going to be interested in me, right?
I mean, I don't even know why men immediately go to this idea of violence.
Yeah,
it's almost like. Well, I'm the man. I'm supposed to be the person in this.
You're not right for me. Yeah, I mean, I think it's well. You know what the analogy of that is? Is many men, according to women, show up to online dates older, shorter, fatter, uglier than their pictures and their self description. Right? It's kind of like, what are they thinking? They're going to show up and suddenly a woman who only wants a guy who is like over a certain height is suddenly going to be like. Oh, but he's so charming. I can overlook the fact that he's short. Like, I mean, I don't think women should care about guys' heights. But, like, if a woman does care about it, like, yeah, she does. Like, you don't want to have anything to do with her anyway. Like, what are you doing?
Some women like short kings. Some women don't. Right? It just is what it is. People have their likes. Yeah. People have their likes.
Yeah, a lot of people likes, but they're their likes, and you can't argue with it, you know?
Yeah, it's like, well, you should like me because of so-so. It's like, dude, that's just not my thing.
I mean, yeah, you could be like a perfect match for someone, really, but like that's not for you to say, really. Sam Palmisano, thanks for the $10. Does a straw have one hole or two holes? Is a hole the outline of open space or the lack of space itself? Would this make a straw a tunnel by definition? A straw is definitely a tunnel by definition.
Yeah. Anything is a tunnel that has a thing that allows you to go through.
It has two openings and one hole would be what I would say. But it's not like clear cut.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on the straw, right? Oh, you mean just a regular straw? Yeah, that's a tunnel. I mean, if you were an ant, it's a tunnel.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. Okay. Lurley, Robbie likes pretending all the things he kills are going to kill him when shooting harmless animals. Come on, Robbie. Come admit it. You're an animal coward.
No, and I realize that I am invading their space and I am using violence to take what I want, which is their meat. So, no, I'm not afraid of them, but they should definitely be afraid of me.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess my thing is, we just had this long conversation about mm-hmm. being right, being a good person in sport contests and eating meat and stuff like that. And now it's fuck that animal.
Well, either way, if you're trapping or if you're using a bow or if you're using a rifle, the end result preferably is that you're going home with a dead animal.
Preferably for the person, for the animal, not so much.
Most preferable for you, right? So, I mean, so if you believe in evolution, it's survival of the fittest. You know, humans are the apex predator. If from a religious standpoint, we're supposed to be good stewards of the earth. We have dominion over the plants and the animals. But with that stewardship, though, comes responsibility. Like, you're supposed to take care of your garden. You don't just raise it to the ground. Right. And I think that's a different conversation altogether.
Yeah.
But also, though, if you think about it, because the American food supply is inherently poisonous, anytime that you're able to get food from your own, either from a farmer's market or from the woods that the good Lord has provided us, you should do that, because you're going to have a healthier life, because you're not just ingesting all these chemicals and crap that is put in your food by some factory in Minnesota or something.
Robbie, I've got to ask you, from a moral standpoint, though, I mean, how do you square, okay, by your own account, hunting is you go and take an animal's life, mm-hmm. you know, violently, just because for no other reason other than you want to. And
because you want to eat them, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you would eat, in this case, you would eat whether you did this or not, right? So, what's the difference between that and like going into a store and boosting a major appliance because you want it, or invading a patch of the Middle East because where some Palestinians happen to live because you want it? I mean, you know, it's just literally like you wanting to do something doesn't give you any moral standing.
Right.
Well, it's because we have been given stewardship over the earth. And so, for example, now you can take this from a evolutionary standpoint, which I imagine is what the way that you and JT would take it, or from a religious standpoint. Either way, man is at the top. Now, to answer your question about legality and law, animals don't have property.
No, like I didn't say anything about legality. I know you have every right legally to hunt and kill animals.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about just from a standpoint of natural law. So, say for example, you've lived 600 years ago. If you wanted to survive, especially if you want to survive winter, you're going to go out and you're going to hunt, you're going to fish, you're going to do what you need to do. Okay, well, then explain it, because I don't understand the question. I'm too retarded.
Like, you eat, you can buy, you have stuff at the grocery store and at restaurants. You will, if hunting goes away and becomes like punishable by death, you will still eat. Okay, so correct. That's not what we're talking about. So, in other words, hunting recreationally, which is mm-hmm. what we're talking about, how is that like any more moral than any kind of theft or invasion or just taking what's not yours just because out of lust, or rape for that matter, taking someone's sex?
I think I understand what it is that you're asking me now. So you're asking me, what's the difference between me going out and capping a hog or a deer,
yeah,
as opposed to going into my local Best Buy and committing mass murder? Is that seriously the question?
That's my question. Yeah.
Oh my Lord, I've never. Dude, that is such an insane question. I'm ready to start. Yeah, it is. Okay, so
guys, I'm going to have to blank out because it's 1 o'clock and I have another up schedule at one.
You go.
Go ahead, brother.
Okay.
Go.
That is, man. Y'all, y'all have a good one. Be safe, guys.
Thanks.
Under too. Normal circumstances, I would totally just hang out.
Oh yeah, no, it's fine. Go ahead, do your thing. Have a good one. Teach me how to play Civ 6. Okay, so God, let me see if I can. As I have never thought about this question, like ever, in my 49 years of life.
I'm here.
Okay, so I appreciate this, Ted. So I would have to go first from a concept of sentience. So human beings are sentient creatures. Like we have agency, we have thought, we are a higher life form. We're able to think, we're able to love, we're able to lust, we're able to do all these things. We can build things. That we are a individual soul, for lack of a, if I'm trying to word this the right way, so that way I can explain this from a scientific argument as opposed to a religious one. Religious is easy. We're created in the image of God. And so that's where our humanity comes from. But you're not a Christian, so I can't really use that argument against you. So it would come down from an evolutionary standpoint in that we have agency, we have intelligence, we are the apex apex animal, for lack of a better word, and from your world.
No question.
And so we have decided as a species that killing each other is frowned upon and you shouldn't do that. There are rules that we follow. And so being a member of society, I choose not to go to my local Best Buy and waste everyone there to go steal a computer. Because if I did, the state would then come and they would arrest me and I'd either be executed as a murderer, rightly so.
Right, well, that's so
sweet. Or be put in a cage. Animals, though, they don't have that right. And Ted, you've never hunted, but I'll tell you that there's something really therapeutic about just going out in the woods. It doesn't matter if you come home with nothing, just getting out there in nature, away from everyone.
I believe that.
You and your gun. And if you get yourself a deer, then what you do is that you dress it out. You're not killing for the sake of killing. Like you don't just do like the army did and just slaughter the buffalo and leave their corpses to rot on the plains. That's an atrocity. That's something that should never happen. That's one of the reasons I'm against game hunting. Like, why would you hunt a lion? There's no point. You're not going to eat him. Mm-hmm. That's killing for the sake of killing. Mm-hmm. I'm opposed to killing for the sake of killing. It doesn't matter if it's an animal or if it's a person. Because you're taking a life. The difference is, though, is what is it that you're doing with that life? If I kill you, or if I just kill my neighbor because they stole my parking spot, I'm not helping my family at all. I'm not helping myself at all. All I'm doing is taking someone away from someone else. Whereas if I go out and go hunt, I then am able to bring that meat home. I'm then able to provide fresh meat for my wife and for my kids, for myself. Whatever we don't use, I'm able to donate. That's the difference, I guess, if that makes any sense at all.
I mean, it doesn't really answer my question, because my question was really not about the legality or fear of retribution. Let's just say for the sake of argument that you could go into Best Buy and kill the clerks and, you know, kill the geek squad. And then, and let's just say, like, you can get away with it, right? You can get away with it. Nothing will happen. Obviously, you know, we view that as a heinous, wildly immoral act. But it's like, but I wanted to. It's sort of like no different than like Hitler. Hey, I saw Poland lying there doing nothing. I just wanted it. It's like that. Or the Zionists, like, I just saw Palestine lying around. I just want it. Some people were there in the way. I had to kill them. And they got away with it.
I guess it all just comes down to your intent, right? If what your goal is to go out into the woods, harvest an animal, and then use it to feed your family. That's a different thing than just invading your neighbor's house because you want a sofa and you kill everyone that's there.
I mean,
I don't know how to answer your question.
To me, so is it different if you kill the people at the Best Buy And then you got it. Please, nobody do this. And then bring your TV home, the TV home to your family. And you're like, hey, 72 inch flat screen. Everyone's like, yay, daddy, I love you. Bring it home to your family, I don't think is the point. The point is.
Well, the problem is that you're making sure that someone else doesn't get to go back home to their family. That's the problem.
Well, what about the bear that you kill that wanted to go back to his family?
So bears, they don't mate for life. So that's one thing. Like they do the Ted Roll method. They bump uglies and then they part in the night and no. So that's not really a good argument. And also, for the record, I've never hunted a bear.
That's terrifying, by the way.
I have encountered a bear, mm-hmm. and did not end well for the bear, but that's not because I was actively out hunting the bear. I was out hunting huckleberries and the bear decided you're taking what. So this is probably a closer analogy to the Ted Rall analogy. Mm-hmm. I'm up there in the Jewel Basin and I'm getting myself some huckleberries because huckleberries are just delicious. Mm-hmm. And this bear's just like,
you and Eric could bond together over because he agrees.
Well, yeah, for sure. It's just the problem is that the bear would have been perfectly happy to have me as his dinner, too.
Well, you know.
In which case, then it comes down to
not accommodating him.
Which and then it comes down again to that to the Ted Rall theory of survival of the fittest. I have a rifle and he doesn't.
Right. So you used, technology for better living.
For sure, because I can't win a fist fight against a bear.
Nope. That's probably unlikely.
It would not work very well. But seriously, I mean, now, in full disclosure, I've not been hunting now in several years because my eyesight's just getting too bad. I can't see down the sights anymore. Mm-hmm. So, and it really sucks because I enjoy hunting. I enjoy getting out and getting the fresh meat and stuff. And it's something I regret. Mm-hmm. My eyesight's never going to get better. It's just going to deteriorate over time. It is what it is.
That sucks.
But I mean, there's nothing better. Next time you come here to Montana, I will prove this to you.
Oh, I'll go with you.
There is nothing better than getting yourself some freshly claimed meat, cooking out over a fire, sitting down with your friends while the fire is doing its thing. You're watching the smoke go up, and you just talk. There is nothing in this world better.
Sounds great. I look forward to it.
The world is a front porch, Ted.
We're over time, and we are going to go. Yep. Thanks, everyone, for watching.
Yep, we're going to raid Putinbot Gaming real quick.
Okay, so get ready. You ready?
We are getting there. So we're going to do this just like we do a TMI. And so if y'all would, please, just when we get over, drop a chat when the stream starts. That will help me out a ton.
Even if you don't stick around. But you should stick around. But like,
yeah, if you stick around, that's great. If you don't, that's okay, too. I mean, you can call me a name or whatever. It all works out.
Okay.
All right, we are ready.
Okay, we are. All right, bye, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. See you later.